At our block party, as many of you know, and we're rejoicing what God has done. When Pastor Randy shared the first message, several people gave their lives to the Lord and came forward to receive prayer, and a lot of things were happening in that prayer tent. We made a lot of connections with people in the neighborhood, and it was just a great time. You could hear us all the way in Monroeville, probably. So the neighborhood definitely heard us, and it was a great time. And again, all of that was provided through Randy Don Ministries, and Pastor Randy is with us today, and he's going to be sharing the word to us, and we're delighted he's here. Randy, if you'd come, if you'd give him a warm welcome. I'll let him tell more about himself and his ministry, but he specializes in youth ministry, but beyond that, coaching and things of that venue. So we're delighted to have him here today.
Thank you, Pastor Danny. We love you, my friend. We love you. We love you. You guys have a great pastor. See? I told you they'd agree with that. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, the check's in the mail. Pastor and I, yeah, you can do that online too. Love PastorDanny.com. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what God's doing. I'm thankful for this church, and I'm thankful that we had a party yesterday, and it was a party. You know, I learned a while back, I've been in ministry now for 36 years. What? 36 years. I've been married 32 years this November, and I've known her for 34 and a half now. I'm from Pittsburgh here originally, Washington, PA. My wife is from Long Island, New York. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Long Island. I'm just saying, Hamilton, you know what I'm talking about. New York, it kind of like sassy people. And I married a sassy woman. And I'm thankful to Jesus because my wife's a nurse. And I'm going to hit this timer so I can let you up by, what'd you say, 1:30? 1:30. And, but no, I'm just kidding. At 2:30. And so... My wife is a nurse. She has her master's in nurse practitioner. She's a nurse practitioner, and now she's going for her doctorate of nursing. Very intelligent woman. I have no idea how I landed this one, but I'm just thankful to Jesus. Both full-blooded Italians, and I don't know how God ever took a Pittsburgh boy and took a young lady from Long Island, New York, and stuck us in Battle Creek, Michigan. That's where we first started, Battle Creek, Michigan. Now, I don't know about you, if you've never been to Michigan, Battle Creek, different story. A whole different world, man. And so we went from, like, fast cars, fast city, lights, cameras, action, to cows. First time I ever went hunting in my life, man. I went hunting. I was wearing blue jeans. No, I was wearing sweatpants. Sweatpants, tennis shoes, a Marlboro jacket, and a baseball cap. And I walked in there like, what in the world? And they all had the camo stuff on. I'm just giving a little background of who I am. And they had a little camo. And I just thought, where am I? They stuck me on a bucket in the thatch, okay? They all had these, what they call blinds. People go hunting, they go to the blinds. And I didn't have a blind. Like, I think I was blind. So I almost shot a cow at 6 o'clock in the morning because I didn't know what it was. And I bagged the first deer I ever shot in my life, 8-point buck. And I was the hero of the camp. And what happened was, the next day when I showed up with the donuts, because I didn't know what I was bringing, they had a full-fledged outfit for me. They had the bib overalls. They had the whole camo stuff. And I learned to love that church. And I was there 12 and a half years. Moved to Detroit for 10 and a half. And then I've been in Grand Rapids for 20. And so God has just used us all over. And now I've been traveling the last 9.5 years as full-time evangelists all over the country, all over the world. In fact, I just got back from Rome, Italy. I spent 5 days there. Next year, I'm going to spend a lot more time. But it's just amazing. My ancestry's all there. I'm only saying this to tell you this. When I started the ministry, I was thinking, God, what can I do as a nonprofit ministry to bless the inner cities and the schools across America? See, God has called me to be a missionary to America. Because here's what I think has happened. And I've been there. I've served the church and youth ministry for all those years, 27 years, 4 churches, 27 years, full-time youth ministry. We've been to every single country you can imagine. But you know what? I want to be in America because I think we're going to hell in a basket. Our cities are a mess. You know what I'm talking about. And our communities need the church. They need this beacon of light. You know, we could send forth this whole entire congregation to Bangladesh. Thank you, Jesus. That'd be awesome. But what are we doing here? And so God's called me. And so what we started doing with my board, my three board members and I, we started saying, how can we give back to the cities? And I said, I have an idea, but you guys might like it, you might not like it. I'm a nonprofit ministry. We need money to go. But I want to take and do an event where every city I go to, I pay for. Every city I go to, I'll pay for. And God's, my board said, let's do it. And so we started a golf outing 10 years now in Michigan. My second year here on Pennsylvania, we raised $10,300. And by the time I'm done this entire 11 days that I've been here, that's gone. People say to me all the time, wait, you're a nonprofit. Why are you giving money away? Because God's called me to raise money to give money so I can bless a man and a woman like Heather in this church and say, this is Jesus to the community. So when I came here, somebody said, you want backpacks? We got 357 backpacks extra if you want them. I said, I'll take them. Because I want to bless Pittsburgh. I want to bless Lemoyne Center, Washington County. Outreach. And so this was God called us to do. But I'm going to say this to you because I'm going to preach this message. I don't have the ability to do this. This is not on me. This is on God. Only He's able to keep and sustain me. How many know only He's able? No, wait a minute. Wait. See, I don't think you get it. I know everybody say amen. But we say stuff like this. Here's what the church jargon's been for years. I said this at Central Assembly, almost 1,000 people last Sunday morning. We use these phrases. If it's God's will. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Be careful. Be careful because we're in church. We've said it all our lives. I was raised in a church since I was baby. But at 8 years old, I got saved. Prophesied over. The Italian church in Washington, PA. It's always been, if it's God's will. Or, if God wants me to. Now, wait a minute. We've said it all our lives. We don't have the ability to do what we need to do without Him. Because only He gives us the ability. How many know you come from the other side of the track? Anybody come from the other side of the track? Like you weren't raised, come on now, you weren't raised in church, you weren't raised in hallelujah, amen. You know what I'm saying? How many people like to read? Anybody like to read? Still like to read? Okay, Harrison, give us Hamilton, Harrison. I keep looking at it, that's Paula Mallow. Give that to your wife, she's beautiful. And anybody drink coffee? I don't know if you drink coffee, milk, juice. You right there? I'm going to give it to you. Lefty, I'll call you Lefty Lucy right there. And I've got a bunch of stuff in the back. But I want to be honest with you. We're going to laugh a little bit today. You're going to cry a little bit today. You're going to be like, what the heck's going on today? And because I know it's going to happen. I was in the inner city of Detroit. And it was Philadelphia. And I'm in Philadelphia, and I had a friend with me, and he was preaching before me. So I travel with these bands. I was going to bring the bands in. Next year, I'm coming back. We're going to bring bands. I mean, the bands come with me. There's funk. There's rap. There's rock and roll. I mean, people like the screaming guitars. I mean, people go crazy. And the city just, I don't, they like the funk and they like hip hop. But when somebody's, they all come. I don't get it. And the guy's screaming. I got no idea what he's saying, but every once in a while I hear this, Jesus! Jesus! That's all I hear. How many people know what I'm talking about? Now, you can have fun in church. I'm just telling you, I don't preach like him. I know he has a lot of fun, but he is the theologian. I'm the crazy rabbit, okay? Daniel's the theologian. He's coming with all the word, like, bam. I can't all do that. And I know he's crazy, too, because I mentored him for a while in youth ministry. But I'm just saying, I have a different way of preaching. And I'm saying, you're going to walk out here today, he's going, what just happened? I don't even know. But I'm in Philadelphia. The bands are playing, bum, bum, bum. This guy before me is preaching. He's like, listen, God said, hallelujah, hallelujah. And he was going off. And so we're in a high black, Hispanic, Asian area. I mean, they were all there, right? And this little tiny kid in the back goes, Señor, pardon, Señor. And I'm like, I'm hearing him screaming. The guy's like, God said, and he's still going, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. And so the little kid's like, stop. He goes, what? What are you doing bothering me? He goes, when is he showing up? And he's like, who's showing up? Jesus is here. No, not Jesus, not Cristo. When is a man's showing up? Because who is a man's? Who is a man's and when is he coming? Because that's all you say is amen. See, what I'm trying to say to you is not everybody understands the church. Amen's? So when I'm in the city, I'm just like, you get what I'm saying? Just go, whoop, whoop. Or yo, yo. Or got you. Because not everybody understands today the church. Because the church has not been the church. Because we try to throw everything on our ability. And I got news for you, friends. I'm not able to do this. There's no way I'm able. I have the ability to preach or teach without the blood of Jesus. Only he is able. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. If you still have Bibles that you use, if not, get your phones out. YouVerse is perfect for this. I want to read two types. I want to read the NIV first, and I'm going to read the Message Bible. I'm going to give you two different interpretations of this. Ephesians 3, 20, 21. Paul was not crazy when he was beginning to write. And this is really crazy because then you go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and you talk about everything else that's happened, the armor of God and all this other stuff. But before it gets to the armor of God and what we're supposed to clothe ourselves in, how many know what I'm talking about? Ephesians 6. And still until it gets there, here's what it says. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able, say that with me, able. To do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Can you picture the mind-blowing of yesterday? That we had people come yesterday that probably never heard the word of God or Jesus except for a curse word. And all of a sudden, they're on our block. They're in our parking lot. We got the DJ mixing. Is it Linda? Becky, my bad. Becky with an I? Becky with a Y. Why? And so what happens is Becky's mixing. She's a mixologist. She's mixing it up. And then I've got the band over from New Day came over, and we've got the rock and roll. I've got Case came and rapped, young man. Never, listen to this, Mount Olive Church, black church in Washington. Never had any exposure before to Gids Good. Nobody was giving it. We come last week to do our rap for us at Lemoyne Center. He has like 9 different churches now asking him to come. He said, what happened last week in ministry elevated me to 9 different places. I never thought. God said to me, I'm going to launch you. I'm going to send you abroad. I'm going to move you out. And he's over at the church thinking, when? All of a sudden, he comes to Lemoyne Center. He starts to rap for us. There's churches that are there. There's ministries there. And they're all like, we want you. We need you. See what God does? Only he is able to do that. Case couldn't do it. He couldn't get out there. He said, I tried everything. I tried all avenues. I put my CD out there. I went on YouTube. It's all over the place. But only he is able. Immeasurably. The Bible says immeasurably more. You've got kids that are running away and you're losing your mind like, oh my gosh, what's happened, God? Where are my children? Let me say this to you. You are not able to rescue your children. You can't. If it's possible, why are they not coming? Only he has the ability through you that's able. So what are we saying? We're saying is this. According to his power that is at work within us. I want you to say this with me. Only he is able to use me. See, some of you come out of abusive situations. None of you? I remember as a young boy, I have a father in a home that was a good man, not a great man, a good man, that became a great man. I'm the only boy. I have 3 sisters. I don't even know why I'm going here today, but I have to because somebody needs to hear this. I have some stories. I'm a storyteller about my life, about ministry, about people I'm going to share with you today. My dad did not have the ability to love me. Only boy, 3 sisters. You would have thought my dad would have bragged on me. I was an athlete. I was a wrestler. I was a soccer player. I was all-state in wrestling, all-state in soccer. My dad never came to one thing because my dad did not care about me. He didn't care. Man, if he would have cared about me, it would have been a different story. But he didn't at that period of time in my life. My dad didn't care about me until Jesus came and showed up. And I had an opportunity to lead my dad to Jesus. But I was in a very abusive, verbal abusive relationship. idiot, stupid, you'll never make it, you're dumb, you're crazy, too small, too slow. I said, man, you got to go, man. You don't even know me. I remember one day I was a junior in high school, and I scored the winning goal of the WPIL championship. We played at Pitt University. I was a left wing. I scored in the far right corner. We won the WPIL championship. My picture's on the front page. The next day, I'm up in the air. My friends have me on their shoulders. We're walking out. We just won the championship. My dad's looking. I'm like, yeah, Dad, you're crazy. That's me. But you would never know because you don't spend time with me. This is what's wrong with the church today. Everybody's saying they know Jesus, but they never spend time with him. I mean, we abuse him because we blame him. We blame our Heavenly Father when he's not there, when the Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We blame it. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you, I'm just trying to preach my heart out today on the north side. Let me say this to you, that God is the only person that gives you the ability. You want to get out of your funk. You want to get out of your bad situation. You want to raise your children in the fear of God. Only he is able. You can't do it on yourself. It's amazing. I watch people all the time. I saw the tattoos. There's tattoos all over the place. Sometimes we don't even want people in our church to have tattoos. Oh, God bless us. They have gauges in their ears. Oh, God help us if their face is tattooed. You can't even recognize them. But let me tell you something. Tattoos tell a story. Yes. Tattoos take you on a journey. And the problem is too many people have been on too many journeys that they don't even understand where they got the tattoo. Just saying. But I know along my heart a long time ago, I'm going to jump down to a verse I'm going to give you because I'm not done with this one. But Isaiah 49 says this, how can a mother forget the child that she has breastfed? And the Bible says, Isaiah 49:15-16, but I will never forget you. How can a mother forget you that bore you, breastfed you? I will never forget you. You know what it says in the Bible? For I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Now the Message Bible says, for I have tattooed you on the palm of my hands. So next time we wrestle with tattoos, long hair, craziness, I don't remember the 60s. Nobody remembers those days when people came into our church and they were like, what in the world's that? Come on. All the leaves are brown, all the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray. I've been for a walk. You've been for a walk. Get out of my church. We were kicking out, it's like the church does today. The church says they're all inclusive. Not this church. I love this church. You talk about blended? I'm so proud of you, man. This is blended. But our churches today, they don't want to be blended. They just want to be church. They don't want to be like the open door, you know what I'm saying? Unless it's a rotating door of what you have, what you don't have. The reason I love this man and this woman is because this church looks healthy, and it's always been healthy, but it has been a little dormant. And I don't even know the history. That's what the Spirit of God is telling. There's a little dormancy. Now all of a sudden now you have a revitalization of life, pops it up, and all of a sudden before you know it, you got blocked. But come on, somebody. That's why worship was so good this morning. The reason why worship's so good, people come to pray. You don't want to know this? I'm churches all over the country. I'm in churches all over the country. Every denomination. You know how many people pray for people in churches? That's not peace sign. That's zero. They don't have a time at the altar when people can come up and lay hands on and anoint with oil. Don't touch me. What would you put? I know salad. You don't put no. Oh, man. We don't have it in our churches today. Nobody wants to really pray. Microwave churches, an hour, you're out. Two songs, beat it, just beat it. Now beat it. I'm just telling you, it happens. I'm in Philly, and every time I go to travel somewhere, somebody always tries to find me a church on a Sunday. It don't matter what kind of church, you just put me in anything. So I'm in the city of Philly, Kensington. I don't know if you know Kensington, Philadelphia, but... crazy. Number one in heroin distribution were Rocky Balboa, where they did all the movies for Rocky. All under the viaduct. All right there, Kensington. Kensington. Then you get into Philly and more, and that's when you run into steps. But he don't get to the steps, but through Kensington. heroin, all being, I'm preaching and on the streets. Let me tell you something. They're not just streets, but every venue has garage doors. And then they have the gates locked. And then they have barbed wire. That's what Kensington looks like. And so there's a rock church there. They're putting on a party. They asked me to come preach in what they call their garden. It's about a little 2x2 patch, and they're growing stuff over here because it's all like rock, and it's all streets, and whoop, po-po coming down, whoop, whoop, fire trucks going, people laying in the street, dying, foaming at the mouth, needles in their arm, ODing on heroin right there. I'm behind a triple X porn shop preaching my heart out. People coming to Jesus, demoniacs coming. In the name of Jesus, you be quiet. I watch people face plant. People come near me. You better get out of my... People are like, I'm like, hey, all right, Jesus. Because he protects you. Because he protects you. I don't have the ability to do that, but my God does. As long as you preach it, as long as you walk it. Now, wait a minute. In your funk, in your stuff, you can't be like, oh, God, where are you, man? If I was God, I'd be like, I'm right here. Oh, man, snap. Okay, he's right here. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm as close as the mention of my name. But he will not sit in your stupidity. He will not sit in your stupidity. He will not sit in your blame. He will not sit in your ignoring who he is. Where is Jesus and God in our schools right now? I'll tell you where he's at. He's across the street waiting to be invited. Because we removed everything of God in our school. Why? Because we don't have the ability to keep doing it. Only God has the ability. He's able. I get done, and they put me in a church on a Sunday morning. Now, I'm radical on the streets of Kensington. On Sunday morning, they put me in a Methodist church. Now, I ain't nothing against Methodists. I'm just saying a little quieter than this. I'm like, can I get an amen? They're like, I felt like I was talking to the oil man, you know, the tin man. How many know what I'm talking about? That's old school. Some of the younger ones are like, what? I'm preaching to a Methodist church of 11 people. I get done preaching. Some of them dress like priests. They have a long black robe. They have the little thing. Some of the Methodist pastors. This one did in Philly. He says, my brother, you're crazy. You're preaching to 11 people like you're preaching 11,000 people. I said, brother, because we have the ability through Christ to preach. I'm not going to be like, okay, let's sit down. Let's have donuts. Let's talk about Jesus. Ain't going to happen, okay? Ain't going to happen. I'm throwing it like I'm talking. I'm just telling you. Only he, according to his power, that's at work within us. You having a good time so far? I'm not hurting nobody. I don't want to hurt nobody. I want people to come back, okay? How many of you visiting? This is your first time. Anybody, is this your first time or second time in this church? Or maybe you ain't spent no time. How many people just like, I don't even know what I'm doing here? Okay, we got nobody? I thought we had a couple. It says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. It's not just talking about yours. It's talking about the little ones. Forever and ever, amen. Now, the Message Bible says it this way. It says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine, you could ever guess, request in your wildest dreams. I love it. Because God gives you the dream. Listen, if you have a bad dream, it's called a nightmare. That's from Satan. He's the one to wake you up and tell you you're not good. He's the one that keeps spitting at you and says you're a loser. He's the one that says, no, don't worry about it. Don't go to church. Don't cross the track. Don't do something good for somebody. Because you know why? Man, you don't have to do that. That's the devil doing that. God says, go across the street because it is his will. If you ever say, I don't know if it's his will. That's wrong. God's will is to minister, to love, to give, to go through, to pray over. And will you quit saying, hey, listen, I'll pray for you, girl. Let's start praying right there. I have too much of that. I'll pray for you. I'm in restaurants, man. How many people have ever gone to Cracker Barrel? Now, I'm just telling you, this is how I tell my story. Only God has the ability to do stuff like this. I'm in Cracker Barrel. How many go to Cracker Barrel? Anybody ever go to Cracker Barrel? I'll see some of y'all lying because you're like, I don't want nobody to know. Listen, my wife says I spend too much time at Cracker Barrel. I probably do because I'm becoming this little doughboy, okay? So what happens is I'm in Cracker Barrel, and I go to order my food. And before I order, I say to the waitress, okay, is there anything that I can pray for you about today? Because I pray. It's not that I don't trust your cook. It's just that... I don't trust your cooks, okay? And I don't trust any food today in a restaurant because I ain't like that, okay? I just know I've watched people get sick. Can I say this? Ever, never, never in my life have I had food poisoning. You know why? Because I know how to pray. And I also know I know how to stay away. Okay? So I go to say, and I say, can I pray for you? Because I'm about to pray for my food. I'd love to bless you. Is there anything? This woman in Cracker Barrel, you been to Cracker Barrel? You know, there's always a fireplace. Somehow there's always a manager with a thing in his ear, and he's standing right there in case something stupid happens. She grabs my hand, pulls it up. She starts crying. I said, oh, snap. So what's up? She said, I have struggled with hives for 3 years. I've been to prayer meetings. I've been to groups. I can't do it. I don't know why God isn't blessing me. I've been stuck with hives all over my body, complete on my body, 3 years. And I'm thinking to myself, she's got my hand. For the love of God, woman, let go of my hand. Oh, God, I got to wash this hand 7 times. I'm a priest of the word of God. I said, I would love to. Because that was in my mind. Don't judge me. You know, y'all like, okay, let's make it quick. So I pray for her. She goes back, takes care. I go away. 2 weeks later, I just moved to this area of Grand Rapids. I knew I was born to blow the minds of people. Because I'm living in an old Dutch world. I'm full-blooded Italian in an old Dutch world. Like all this 5'7 of this stuff, in a world of 6 foot everything, blonde hair, blue eyes, Dutch looking at me like, you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. One lady told me that restaurant. I said, listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm a minister of the gospel. But when I find out where you live, it's going to get busy. You Dutch cocky attitude. And so I prayed for this woman. I go back 2 weeks later. This is a Cracker Barrel I want to visit a lot because I love Cracker Barrel. And so I go back 2 weeks later. Another waitress comes out. I said, ma'am, listen, I'm praying for my food. I said, oh, no, here we go again. Manager's like, he's back on aisle 5. He's back. Get over there quick. I started praying for her. She starts saying that her father, they celebrated the father's 40th birthday last week, and he died the day after. What do I do? My best friend died. What do I do? What do I do? Now, I'm in the marketplace. I'm in Cracker Barrel. People don't want to pray in Cracker Barrel because they want to eat and go. I pray over this beautiful lady. She goes back. She comes out with the lady 2 weeks prior. I knew it was him. I knew it was a short little bald. I said, wait a minute, lady, back up. First of all, I know I'm bald, but how you know I'm short? I'm sitting down. You know I'm a short little bald guy. And who says that? People. Come on now. Like your family. Like your husband or wife. They'd be like, listen, fat dough boy. That's my wife. Listen, get on a diet. I'm just telling you straight up. So she comes out and says, oh my gosh, I knew it was him. I knew it was you, preacher. Let me say something. Now, I never told her I was a preacher. I just told her I like to pray with people. Let me tell you something, preacher. You prayed for me 2 weeks ago. Oh, my gosh. Look. The next morning when I got up, my hives were gone. I'm completely healed. I can't believe what God did. Look, man, I've been waiting for you for 2 weeks to tell you. It's gone, man. I'm like, whoa, check that one out. The little girl says, what about me? She says, man, don't worry about it. He'll be back. 2 weeks later, I go back. The first lady, second lady is, oh my gosh, you won't believe what God did. We did not know. Even though my dad died, there was an inheritance. Come on, somebody. I didn't know a place to go. Oh, thank you, Jesus. She said there was an inheritance, and the inheritance was so much that I'm able to send my 2 children full-time college. I'm able to pay off my school bill, and I'm able to put money down on a house. But if dad wouldn't have died, I'm not saying God caused the death to give her Momo. Come on, somebody. But God says, I'm able. I'm able to rescue you in your finances. I'm able to rescue you in your storm. I'm able to rescue when the power goes out. We talked about that yesterday. Only he is able. So what is the definition of even wild? How many? Listen, I went to Trinity High School. How many How many know where Trinity is? I don't know if you know where Trinity is. Wash High, Washington County. I went to Trinity. Ain't no shame in my game. Big school, good school. I went to Trinity, and the wildest thing we ever saw, how many have ever seen wild stuff? Like, wild stuff happened or you did something wild? How many has ever done something wild? Now, don't lie. I ain't putting my hand up, Pastor, looking. Right there, I see wild right there. Look at him. He's like, I got wild, man. You've done something crazy, okay? Like, my craziest thing is probably, like, no, I won't even go there. I won't tell you because it was crazy. Okay, so, and I had a lot of wild moments, not turning against God, never backslid. My father drank, my father smoked. I never drank, I never smoked because I watched. I was smart. I wasn't dumb. Well, let me try that. Oh, it doesn't work for me. I'm just saying, I didn't try it because I saw it. When you come from a home of that, you don't ever want to do it. My wife's the same way. Our father's the same way. We never drank. We never smoked. I never had sex before marriage. I didn't get married until I was 26. Listen, I ain't no shame in my game. I tell young people that all over the place. They're like, I said, you can giggle, laugh all you want, but you're probably fighting a disease right now. It's okay with me. Like, I'm clean. I'm okay. 32 years of marriage. I don't have no shame in my game. My wife walked down Bethpage, Long Island, in the aisle. I didn't have to look like, oh, my gosh. I'm thinking about Doris, Beth, Susan. Beth. I'm thinking all these people. I'm, oh, my God. Well, I don't deserve this. No, no. It was like, bring it. But the wildest thing I ever saw as a kid is when some dude decided to take all his clothes off and run across the football field. They called it streaking back then. That was one of the wildest things we saw as kids. It was like, woo! The heck, Jimmy, what are you doing? Hey, man. Ran across the field. But wild today, let me tell you what wild is today. And people don't think anything of it. We got college students that are going to these frat parties and they're taking all their prescription pills and they're putting them in a big bowl today. Big bowl, it's fun. Opium, all kinds of opioids, all kinds of drugs, everything, and then they're lacing everything, putting it in a big bowl today. See, it used to be when you went and had punch and somebody spiked the punch. That's when it used to be kind of wild at parties. But now it's a big bowl of nothing. Everything, life is there. Drugs are there. All kinds of stuff from Advil to opioids. I'm telling you, they're in the bowl and they're taking one and you got to take it. And the police department in Grand Rapids is saying, we have 9 colleges in Grand Rapids. You know what the police department's saying? We are pulling more kids out that are ODing at these frat parties than we have the last 40 years. Because people are getting wild. They're losing their mind. The only way we're going to be able to rescue through Jesus Christ is to understand his ability. So, could it be the wild thoughts or the wild things or go beyond a normal act? I'm asking this church to start getting wild. Start getting wild for the things of God to go beyond the normal things of God. Now listen, I only have 5 minutes exactly left. That's exactly what I wanted to allow myself time. Because I know some of you have to get out and start eating. Cracker Barrel. There's 2 things I want to give you, though, is God can do anything. If you want to write 2 things down, write this. God can do anything he wants. Now, he is able. So, I want to look at this scripture. I want to give you Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Jude 1, 24. It says this. To him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Only God can give you the ability, the able, he is to push you through. The move when you don't feel like moving, the power within you when you don't feel the power, it's only Jesus Christ. So the second thing is, only God is able. The second thing is, he's able to do anything, anytime. Only God is able, and he's able to do anything. I want you to say it with me, anything. God, do anything. How many of you today, if I was to be honest, need a rescue? How many would say, I need a rescue? I am in some stuff. Yeah, God sees your hand. I want you to remember, keep that hand up in your heart, because we're going to pray for you in that. He's able to calm the storm. You remember when the disciples were in the boat, and they were freaking out, and like, come on, man. Jesus goes down in the bottom of the boat. The storm comes up, the disciples are in the top. Jesus knew it. Listen, if God knows all things, if Jesus knows all things, he knows he's going to be disturbed to have to come up, take care of your storm. He's in your boat. But he's trying to rest. And he says, okay, faithful child of God, rise up. But when the storm comes, you don't rise up. All of a sudden, we start getting weak. Like, Jesus, where are you, Jesus? Cancer comes in. Suicide. I'm not saying to disregard. I'm not saying we don't have emotions. I'm not saying we don't have to hit those things and face those things. I'm talking about when a husband's abusive to you or a wife's abusive or your children are in jail. Let me say this to you. The storm is there. Jesus is in the boat. They came down to get Jesus. They're freaking out. God, please help us. We're in the storm. Please, storm. Oh, God, please. And Jesus walks up and says, storm, be still. And then he says this, O ye of little faith. Now, wait a minute. Those were the disciples. Those are the people that walked with him, talked with him, and shared life with him. He can rise up when you have somebody that's dead, the Mary and the Marthas, and the Lazarus come forth. He's there. We lose our minds when Jesus doesn't show up on our time. But then I hear the testimony is this. I asked God today. He came 3 days later. It was perfect. Because I thought it was supposed to be here, and it's 3 days later, and it's perfect. And it was only God. Why? Because he's able. Only he is able. He has the ability to change your circumstances, but you have to get out of you. See, the problem we're having in our lives today is we don't want to get past us. Because I'm fix it. I can fix it. You can't fix it. You can't fix a wayward child that keeps on looking at you, cursing you out when they turn 12 years old. I don't know what happens. They get like anti-something. You got young man, a young woman, all of a sudden they want to just run on the other side of the track. They want to join a gang. They'd rather do that than listen to you and serve you. You better hit your knees hard. And you better know that you don't have the ability to change that kid. Only God does. And you better start fasting and praying because God knows. How does he know? I'll finish with two stories and I'm done. And I'll call you up, brother, to come up and play a little bit of something. Because that's usually how church services end, with a little bit of keyboard. And I know, you know, we do it different here. I'm just saying. I want to thank you for allowing me to come. Thank you for allowing me. I'm serious. Yesterday, today. Thank you. I like it, Pastor. There's a young lady in my youth ministry. She's 13 years old, walks into my office with her grandmother, her mother. I'm in Battle Creek, Michigan. I'm only there six months. I was there 6 months without my wife, and then I got married in November. I started Mother's Day, May. I'm 6 months. Now I'm getting ready for November. But in that 6 months, a girl comes into my office. First youth ministry I ever had. I was a coach. I was a teacher at a major university in Philadelphia, and I was going for my master's in education. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to preach. You know why I didn't want to preach? Because I didn't want to face people and be so honest that I hurt somebody. I was like, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to tell your word and the truth because somebody's going to get mad at me. Because it's your word and your truth. It ain't what I'm saying. It's what you're saying through me. Because I don't have the ability to. Because I want to smack somebody. Like, I got family. How many have family? How many know that sometimes you want to hurt your family? Like, seriously. Your sister laying in bed. You're like, I'm going to put the pillow over her head because she's nasty. I'm just telling you. I think those things sometimes. And I'm thinking, oh, that ain't God, okay? But don't look at me and judge me because some of y'all. Anyways, this young girl comes to my office. She's 13 years old. 13 years old. And she says, I'm pregnant. Now, I've only been in youth ministry. This is my fifth month. I'm like, say what? I looked at the grandma. I said, can they get pregnant at 12? 13 years old? Oh, absolutely. I'm like, okay. That's something new. I've not been in ministry. I've been doing other stuff. I'm not thinking about the age thing. Well, and then I said, wait a minute, time out here. Let me see something. There's no way this just happened. Something's got to be in the crawl here. So I asked the grandmother. Grandma, let me ask you a question. Your daughter's here, the mother of this girl. Did you have her out of wedlock?
Yes.
Oh, you did. Mom, did you have this young lady, 13, out of?
Yes.
Okay, I got one more question. Grandma, mom, how about great-grandma? Grandma, that?
Yes.
Okay, generational curse. We got generations of pregnancy in that line. Comes out of this 13-year-old girl in my office. That's nothing, man. She had the baby. 2 years later, 15 pregnant. That's nothing. 2 years later, 17 pregnant. Three different men. Beautiful girl. At 13 years old, she looked like she was 20. At 17 years old, she looked like she was 40. Because life was hard. Three boys.
okay, I have to leave that place in Battle Creek all those years. I go over to Detroit. Now I'm in Detroit 5 or 6 years, and my wife and I went home. We went from Detroit back to Battle Creek. We met some friends. I'm in a bagel shop. I'm a Big Apple bagel shop, okay? And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I hear this, hey, Poppy! Hey, Poppy! I'm like, now the line is from me. Sweetheart, just wave your hand right here in the pink. I'm looking straight at you. Don't look around. Yeah, look at you. Give it like a fanfare. Yeah, this is me. Look at that. Well, okay. She's right there. The line in the bagel shop is all right here. I'm at the door. I just stepped in. How you doing? Good to see you. Man, this line's pretty big. Hey, Poppy! Line's pretty... Poppy, I'm over here! I knew where she... But I wanted to look, and I was like, are you Poppy? She calling you? Maybe you're Poppy. Dude, you Poppy? Who's Poppy? Oh, come on, Poppy, don't do that. I'm talking to you. I'm like, oh, hi. Hey. Hey, girl. Didn't recognize her. I've been gone for like 7, 8 years. Okay. We finally get up here. My wife's with me. My wife's like, I'll meet you in the car, Poppy. I'll see you later, Poppy. That's my wife. She's like, I'm out now. She called your name. She didn't say, hey, Lori. She said, hey, Poppy. Hey, Poppy, I'll see you later. I'm going through the drive-thru. I'll meet you in the back. So I'm like, girl, get back over here. So we get to the counter, and she's like, oh, my gosh, everybody, I'm sorry it was so loud. This is my youth pastor. This is the guy I was under for youth ministry. And I'm thinking, girl, you didn't listen to one thing I said. But I didn't say it. I was thinking it. I wanted to be like, what's wrong with you? Been gone for a while. You should see my babies. Let me show you my babies. Can I have a timeout? So she takes a timeout. Nobody even said timeout. She took a timeout. We come around the counter. Somebody else came up, and she's showing us the baby pictures, and now they're really beautiful. These three boys are really growing up quick. I leave there. We hugged. We cried a little bit. I went off to Pennsylvania. I was in Camp Hill for 1 year. Camp Hill, Harrisburg area for 1 year. This is like years later, okay? I get a phone call. Can you come back? She's got brain cancer, the mother. And she asked for you to do her funeral. I said, are you serious? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. How about the boys? No, the boys are doing good. The boys are doing good. Now, the oldest one now is 17, then 15, 13. I said, okay, I'll come back. I go back and do the funeral. We're up there. I preach. The three boys give eulogies. The three boys. Three boys are serving Jesus, though. Three boys are in church. I want to give honor and glory to my God and my mom. My mom was a failure to some. My mom's our hero. My mom raised us in Jesus. My mom raised us with all of her stuff in her life. She told us never look away from the cross. And we're here today, all of us, 17, 15, 13 years old, serving Jesus. How does that happen, Mom? How does that happen, brother? I'm just asking you. No, she didn't break the curse. The sons broke the curse, but Jesus broke the curse. It wasn't her ability. I'm just trying to say, I've been preaching all day. It's not her ability. It was God's ability. God used this girl in the midst of all of her one mistake, two mistake, three mistake. God was with her, but God couldn't look upon it. But God said, oh, sweetheart, I can take you and I'm going to raise your boys. But she finally came to this stinking epiphany that said, it's no longer about me. Now I got to raise three boys in the fear of God. She didn't do it till her third boy came, but then she started raising them. So they the ones break the curse. Let me say this today. Let me tell you this. That was years ago. Two of the sons are in full-time ministry today. And the one son is studying engineer. I'm just telling you, I don't know how it happens, but they're all serving the Lord. I went back to Battle Creek years ago, just maybe like 3 years ago, and they all wanted to meet up with me. You should see these guys. Because the mother finally said, yes. Come on, brother. This is my last illustration, because you guys got to go eat. And right now it's 11:35, okay? I took 32 minutes so far, 32. Worship was 45, I'm just saying. But it was 45 with prayer, so we'll say it was 30, 37. Okay. I'm just saying. My pastor used to tell me, if you worship for 40, you better preach for 41. I'm just saying, because it's the word of God that sets people free. Worship, you know what I'm doing in our churches too? I love worship, but some people love worship so much, they worship, then they leave. And they don't listen to the preaching. Because the preaching is not what they came to hear. They came to worship. You show me anywhere in the Bible that somebody worshiped God and all of a sudden they just fell before him. No, they fell before him because of his presence, and then the word of God came forth to deliver them. The word is who? The word is Jesus. And he came in flesh because he's able.
I'm in San Francisco, and I'm on a missions trip. Anybody ever been to San Francisco? We're in the Tenderloin area, man. It's kind of crazy down in the Tenderloin area. And I just came out of Asbury Park. I'm in the park. We're having all this stuff go on. People smoking weed still and all this stuff. And we're coming out. We're trying to hand out food. We're handing out food. They told us don't preach. Don't preach Jesus because unless they ask. But just give them food. Just give the homeless, the prostitutes. We're giving them sandwiches. People are asking to pray. We're starting to pray with people. It's really cool. But all of a sudden, my wife comes to me and says, I think we lost one of our kids. We had like 37 kids on a missions trip. I said, what do you mean we lost a kid? My first reaction was, what's wrong with you? Where you been? What do you mean lost a kid? You're the one. Don't you put that on me, man. That was my first one, okay? How many know you don't really challenge when there's a storm already? You don't blame somebody. Pat! Oh, what? What? Don't ever talk to me like I said, I'm sorry, baby. I'm just asking you, where is he? She goes, I don't know. That's why they call it lost. We lost a kid, okay? L-O-S-T. What don't you get? I'm like, I was almost going to say, do you think you know where he's at? But I was smart. Heather, I got smart. I was like, okay. That hurt. She literally, I said, let's go look for him. So we're walking around. All of a sudden, this little tiny guy, homeless guy, comes up and goes, hey. Hey, you! We're like in a whole, it's like this whole metamorphosis, whole thing's fun. Like 20, 30 people moving like this trying to find this kid on the streets. I said, maybe we shouldn't walk all together in case we lose somebody else. Honey, you take a group that way out to, we're walking down, not even when we split, somebody comes and says, hey, you missing a kid? We're like, what's he look like? Because everybody today's missing kid. He's gangly, he looks like a pencil. And he's got a Q-tip for a head, big old fro. I said, that's my kid. Where's he at? Kid's 6'4", 11th grader, big old fro. Like that big. Whiter than white Dutch kid. In San Francisco. I said, where's he at? And he said, he's down here. I said, where's where? Well, he's down in the leper colony. Where all of the disease and everything. I'm like, what? You won't believe what he's doing. You have to see this. Come on. So we walked about 3 or 4 blocks, and there's a big circle, and there's all these lepers, and they're in a line. And the circle kind of opens up, and they're like, oh, that must be his pastor he's been talking about. Hey, you, what's your name? Your name Poppy? I'm like, no, yeah, it's Poppy. And so they open the crowd, and I come in, and there's my kid, this tall, gangly kid, with a basin of water, towels over his shoulder, and he's washing these people's feet. Now, these lepers, you have to see it to believe it. I cannot describe what it is. It's nasty. Open sores, boils all over the place. And the feet are in, and he's scrubbing. And I said, Andrew, and he's like, oh, hey, Poppy, look, man, look what God has me doing. Crying. Just crying. I'm like, oh, Jesus. People crying. Hey, I hope he's don't just because you came. Does that mean we don't get our feet washed? I said no. He goes, I'm washing them all. He already washed like 20 something. And everyone he washed, he's praying over. Everyone he's washing, he's pleading. I can hear him. I got to plead the blood of Jesus. Tell me your story, buddy. Tell me, and they're telling a story. So you know it wasn't like a quick fix. I said, can we get no? Don't touch him. This is my mission. That's what he said. And I said, but Andrew, what's driving you to do this? And he looks at me and he goes, did you not teach us this? Come on, brother. We teach the people, they become the workers. The Bible says, raise up the saints to do the work of the ministry. And this kid in my youth group, now let me tell you something. I had a youth group in Grand Rapids. I should have never left. I had 800 and some people a week. It's bigger than any, probably pretty much almost all Assembly of God churches in the state of Michigan or Pennsylvania. My youth group is over 800. When I threw a party like yesterday, it'd be 3,000. I don't know where they all came from. Some of them all just wanted the food and the gifts, but they came and then they heard us preach and then they got saved. This kid said, am I not doing what you taught me? And because you taught me, I can't do this. I don't even know if I like this. But I'll tell you what, God in me is doing it. He's the ability. Only he, come on somebody, you know, Do you feel this? Only he is able. See, some of you are already checked out. Some of you are looking on your phone. Some of you are texting when I'm preaching. That's okay. That's okay. But I'm saying this. Don't walk out of here and blame God for anything. It's on you. Why don't you start fighting the devil as much as you fight God? I said it out there yesterday. People, all they do is curse God, blame God. How did this happen? How did I do this? How did I do that? Oh, God, you were never there. God says, I'll never, never leave you nor forsake you. The problem is we turn our back on God when the storm hits. And we forget where the flashlight is. We know where we put it, but we forgot where we put it. And the light has always been there. Jesus is here. Let me tell you, I want to speak to the young people real quick. Let me say this to you. Your friends are going to try to mess you up. They're going to persuade you, smoke this, drink this, choke this. Look at this video. Don't look at this video. Let me say something, young people. You got a brain in that head. You let the spirit of dumb gum come across you, you're going to get punished. There's two consequences in life. One's going to hurt you. One's going to free you. One's going to allow you the ability to walk that way. One's going to let you walk that way. Everything we do in life is consequence. Only he has the ability. So I've got a question this morning. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know Mr. Abel? Do you know the one that has the ability to change your whole family like that? Do you know one that has the ability to get you off drugs just like that? Do you understand this? That you can raise your child in the fear of the Lord. It don't matter where you've been, it's a matter where you're going. You don't have a relationship with Christ, you don't even know about Christ, you came into service today, you're like, oh my goodness, I need a Savior. If that's you, I just want to do me a favor, just stand up. Anybody here today says, I need a Savior, I need Jesus, I need him, I need him, I need him. There is no question in my mind, I'm not serving him, I've heard about it, I've never asked him in my life, I need Christ right now. If that's you, just stand up, don't be afraid, just stand up. Anybody, I always got to give this altar call. Always got to throw out the net. Yesterday, what? 16, 17, maybe? Maybe more? Maybe that's why I had everybody say the sinner's prayer, because you don't know who's saying it didn't come for. Only God knows. Thank you, Jesus. All right, second question is this. We already opened the altar once. But you're saved. You just told me every single person in this place saved. I got news for you. I've been around a long time. I'll be 60 years old in January. I've been in ministry 36 years. Not everybody in this place is saved. That's just all I'm just saying. Oh, yes, we are. No, you're not. Not true salvation. Not serving God, the Master Jesus. You might say you're saved, but you're not saved. Statistics will prove that. So since we're all saved, we all know Jesus. Here's my second thing. Are you doing what he's asked? Are you looking to wash the feet of lepers? Are you reading every day, studying every day, fasting once a week, fasting to Jesus, knowing Jesus? Because if not, and you want to say, I want to get to that place, I'm tired of running, for the sake of my family, for the sake of my life, for the sake of who I am, for the sake of my sidewalk that I'm going to impress, I need to get closer to God, and I'm not there, and I need to get there. I want to rededicate my life. If that's you, stand. I don't care if it's one. I don't want you to mess around. I'm just asking you. I'm not playing a game. I don't do numbers. I don't do numbers. I never write on Facebook numbers. You know why? Because it's called fabrication. I'm not doing it. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I want every one of you to do me a favor. I need you to get out of your aisle and just step forward. Only he's able. Come on, as fast as you can. Come on, move up. Because it's right now, oh boy, we got to get out of here before noon. Okay, come on. I'm just busting, man. Pastor Danny never said that. But some of you might have.
Like, we didn't go 12 o'clock. Oh my gosh.
Anybody else? Come on, keep packing. Keep up this way. Go up this way. Go up this way. Go this way. Because I got news for you. And that's not to embarrass anybody out there. But what it's telling me is the rest of you, everything's great, and you know how to pray. So here's what I'm going to ask. If you're willing, I would like the rest of you to stand up, and I'd like you to come. Unless you have a small child, don't do it. But I'd like the rest of you, because the rest of you told me that you're on fire for Jesus. That's why you didn't move, and that's why there's no salvation. So the rest of the church is telling me you're fireballs for Christ. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to come up and lay hands on these people. I'm going to pray for you. And here's what I want us to do. We came forward. I know your arm is that. Okay, I don't know the whole story, shoulder, arm, or whatever. But you've been anointed. We've already prayed, right? What we're going to pray now is everybody's been prayed for that needed prayer. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to lift up our praise today. See, when I learned a long time ago that I only have two ways I could ask God to heal me. God, give me instantaneous healing or give me gradual healing. But I want fullness of healing, okay? So maybe there's three ways. Really two, but three. And I pray. How many of you have been there? Oh, God. God, you high ass. How many have been there? Let's come on, we're in church. Don't lie. We have begged God. We have begged God. I see you're missing an arm. Let me say something, sweetheart. My niece is missing her leg in eighth grade. Amputation 4.5 inches above her knee. Do I believe God can grow an arm back and a leg back? Oh, heck yeah. Did I tell you? Woo, woo. Did I tell you this? When that arm someday just starts to form and it starts, and you all of a sudden on a Sunday you're raising your right instead of your left, and people are like, wait, time out. What's your first name? My God, wait a minute. I've been here for 3 years. I know Renee, raising your right arm? I thought it was your, what? See, people? Wait a minute. Now, we cry out before God. We cry out before God. I don't know what you're going through, but there's something going on in your mind. It's heavy. I don't know what you're going through. God just drew me to you yesterday. Had the headset in. You know, you're doing, I know. It's all right. I ain't trying to embarrass you. But God wants to use you, young man. And I'm going to say this. Don't become a statistic. You better listen to your father and people in your life. It takes one dumb thing to end up like everybody else. It takes a real man to stand across the street and say, I'm not involved. I'm just saying, I don't know where you're at. I'm just going to pray for you. Because I watched the way you tenderly took this little child. I think that the way you took him is the way the Father God's taking you. He said, come on, get over here so I can wrap my hands around you. Because this little precious nugget, you said, give me the baby. I want to hold that little baby. Why? Because that's pureness, that's life. And that's how God views you. You're the only one who gives that away. You got what I'm saying? Is that okay? I don't want to offend you. We get to the point where we cry out to God, oh God, my children, let me say this to you, they're not your children. What the heck's wrong with you? Nobody talks like they're not your children. Pastor Danny and Heather, they have four. That's not their children. Biologically. But man, they're your children. Those are God's babies. Now he's entrusted you to raise those babies. Come on. So instead of crying out, oh God, my shoulder, I just had surgery. Breast cancer, taking this out and that out my shoulder. We prayed for you yesterday. You're feeling better today? That's what I thought, Vicky. Vicky, let me say this to you. Now you get your praise on. See, when we start to turn our weeping into praise, God says, oh yeah, there I am. There I am. Because he already hears the cry. He already knows our hearts. He knows our minds. Before we even speak it, God says, I know it. I already know it. I know what's in your minds. So why don't you just say it? The Bible says, whatsoever you speak, start to call your children forward out of your mouth. God, rescue this gorgeous little baby doll. God, help her when she's in school. God, raise them. Praise you, God, for protecting them. Praise. When you start to get your praise on, listen, God's not deaf, dumb, or blind. He hears the whispers of our hearts. So why can't we exalt him in our praise? Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the miracle. Oh, God, thank you that you're rescuing my kids. Because why? I don't have the ability. I don't have the ability. Only God has the ability. So quit losing your mind. Quit stressing and causing yourself to have a stroke or headaches or sickness. And when you release it to God, because you can't change it anyways, only God can. Now, I'm not saying God can't use you. Please don't walk out of here, because God's using every one of us. And as he uses you when you step into that person's life, you better be presenting Jesus. Because he'll use you. He'll give you his ability. Remember I said it's the power within you. That's his ability in you. Way to go, vessel. Way to go, vessel of honor. I watched you pray for people. 1, 2, 4 at a time, 3 at a time, all day long. I'm thinking, who pray all day long like that? I watched you clean up all day long. Daniel, Danny, all day long. Only he gave you the ability to do that. All day long. All day long on a grill, cooking hot dogs and burgers. Sure wish I had known about the burger earlier. I'm just saying, I'm still angry about that burger, bro. I didn't see. They smell so good. Cooking hot dogs. Who gives you that ability? Come on, Hamilton. Only Jesus. So I want you to do me a favor. Place a hand on his shoulder. Place a hand on his shoulder. Place a hand on his shoulder. Oh, come on now. It's not like somebody owes you money. It's just, my gosh. That's why I thank God for microphones that fall apart. It's Jesus. And just hold on to that. And that's like electrocuted. It's okay. Or shocked. I want to pray a prayer over this body. And I would like this. I would like Pastor Heather and Pastor Daniel to come. You're like, I'm not a pet. Yes, you are. Come up here. And I'd like you right in the center. Because you're my friends. And you blessed me. You've blessed me. Monday meeting your children. Blessed me. You can turn around and face me because they're going to lay a hand on you. And we're going to pray over this entire body all at once. And I want you just to do this. When it comes to, Lord, I give you my, speak it. Lord, I give you my, just speak it. Once you release it, he already knows it, so you might as well speak it. That's the problem today. We walk into a place and we don't want to ask nobody for nothing because we don't want to tell them. But the Bible says, unless you receive, you have to ask. Ask and you shall. It doesn't say ask and maybe or ask and I'll think about it. It says ask and you shall. Now, the shall may be a little different of what you think, but it's what God has. Okay? Father, today, I thank you. Some of you know how to speak in another language. Just let that spiritual language flow. Some of you don't understand that the Holy Spirit is here today. It's by his actions and his ways. It's only through the Holy Spirit we're going to have freedom. That's it. Through Jesus Christ, God Almighty. God the Creator, Son the Savior, Holy Spirit, the Convictor, the Comforter, Soother of our soul. The Holy Spirit that walks with us, talks with us, and guides us. The thou shalt nots have never changed. Father, I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, today I have my speak it. God, today I'm battling with speak it. God, today will you take me through speak it. Come on. If you don't speak it, I'm telling you, you keep holding on to it. God, today I struggle with speak it right now. God, I need today. Here's what I need today, God. I know you know my heart and my mind, but I'm going to speak it. So I need today, speak it. Come on, man. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Come on, young person. Today I'm asking you for my speak it. Today I'm giving you my life and I'm praising you. I'm praising you. I'm giving you thanks. Come on, somebody. I'm praising you. I'm giving you thanks. Oh, God, I love you. Oh, God, I praise you. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. It's not within me, God. I feel weary at times. I'm tired at times. I'm nervous at times. I'm disappointed at times. I'm frustrated at times. God, I give you all that. God, I'm not saying I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm not saying that I'm not going to be worrying. But take the worry, because worry is a sin, and I don't want to sin anymore. I don't need anxiety in my life. I need a miracle in my life. I don't need anxiety in my life. I need the truth in my life. I don't need to worry anymore that I'll be stressed out and cause a stroke or some kind of sickness. I give you my life. Open up my life. Open up the doors. So right now, on the count of three, when I say, God, I give you, you speak that very thing. One, two, three. God, I give you, give it. That's it. I heard it. I heard it. Try it again. Give him something else. One, two, three. God, I give you my... Go. Jesus' name. Father, I pray a blessing upon our pastors. I pray a blessing upon pastors in the name of Jesus. You've given these two authority over this church. The mantle is upon them. They have been gifted to come and to preach and teach and to raise up, to build what you want to from the outside in, thrown out of this church to do the work of the kingdom, to bring those in from the highways and byways. God, bring this neighborhood, bring this community, bring this city to a place of recognizing Christ through this church. God, I pray this church is not just the building. The church is us. And so we empower the saints, the saints, that's you, to do the work of the ministry. Give them giftings, give them themes, give them ideas, give them strength, I pray. Bless them financially, I pray, in the name of Jesus. We give you all things today. We commit all things today. You are all things today. In Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus.
The one who gives us deliverance, isn't he? He's the Savior, Savior of the world, if we let him, save us. Randy was telling us about a pastor who, when Randy comes in, the pastor feels like he needs to be the guy that puts out the fire, because Randy comes in and stirs up the fire. But we're not that kind of a church, are we? A fire is ignited in us, and we want to carry that into our families and into our neighborhood. The Lord's doing a work in us, amen. And I can't tell you how proud I am of you guys. Not just yesterday, but the many things that you guys do, but yesterday especially. All I have to do is ask you to do something. You guys run and you do it, and it gets taken care of. We had inflatables out there. We had the grill, the food. We had games out there. And within 15 minutes, all cleaned up. Because we work as a team, right? It's not about me or about Randy or about Heather. It's about the team. We're a team. We're the family of Christ. Amen? You excited for what God has for us? Amen? Next week, you can be seated. We want to bless Randy. So we want to take an offering for his ministry. I know he's saying no, but we want to bless him with that. And if he wants, he can give it to a charitable cause that he would like to do. But we want to bless him for being with us. He's blessed us in many ways, and so we want to bless him with that. So our ushers are going to get ready to give. And next Sunday, we mentioned this last week, you use emojis, those icons, those faces in your phones and in your emails and such. For expressing all kinds of emotions, and we're emotional people. Anybody an emotional person?
No.
Lori's saying that. Lori's as calm as you can get, right?
Yeah.
We are emotional people, and emotions a lot of time is what really wrecks us and messes us up. And we want to see that God has answers for our anger, for our bitterness, for our fear, and he is going to show us the way to find true joy and peace in the Lord. And so we're going to begin that journey next week on emoji. You excited for what God's going to do in our emotions? Amen. You excited for what God did today?
Yes.
Amen. He's faithful. And so our ushers are going to receive an offering for Randy. Lord, we thank you for Randy. And we thank you for Randy Don Ministries. Lord, they have done a great work among us, as well as a work in Washington. And we're asking, Lord, for more than just raised hands. We're asking, Lord, that you would bear fruit from those who have confessed with their mouths that Jesus is Lord. And Lord, we had a number of people that said they want to come to this church. And Lord, we're asking, whatever reason they didn't come today, we're asking that your Holy Spirit would begin to draw them and bring them to this place, that you would continue to anoint us and help us as we go out to them. And Lord, we ask that you would just cause this church to become the neighborhood's church, Lord. That this is the church for this neighborhood, and that you would help us to bring transformation around this neighborhood. We give you glory and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.